Our text this morning comes from Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, if you'd like to turn to that. Diane and I want to take the opportunity to thank you for the 5 months that we've had to share together with you in worship. We've enjoyed being with you very much, and we'll continue to pray for you as you look to the future. But now, first of all, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says this. God said to Samuel, "I have chosen a king for myself." Samuel didn't know who in the world he was talking about. It was actually going to be David, but he didn't know that at that particular time. He says, "I've chosen a king for myself." Two things immediately come to my mind. Number one is that God makes the choice. And that's why everyone has been saying to you over the past month, it's so important to be praying for your pastor search committee, that they might be guided by God and that it might be God's person that he has prepared who would come for this hour of New Hope's history. Secondly, you'll notice that even though God says, "I'm going to make the choice," he used Samuel to find David. And so I would say this morning, in the same way, God has used your search committee to find the person that he has chosen. And then, of course, it says that he chooses us for himself. What an interesting phrase. God always calls us to himself before he calls us to any kind of ministry. Now, I want to share one word of caution this morning. You know, it's easy for us to think that the pastor who is to come is going to be a cross between Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. But I want to tell you in advance that one flawed pastor is going to be replacing another flawed pastor. So just accept the fact that he will be different, but nonetheless, we trust that it is God's man for this hour of the church's history. And just a word about Diane and me, if you would allow me a point of personal privilege. We go on next Sunday to begin a new interim pastorate in the Lewisburg Baptist Church in the heart of Franklin County and the Tar River Baptist Association. You know, there is a story about a janitor in a small church. And the janitor was having a conversation one day in the hallway with one of the church members about the furnace in the church. But someone who overheard that conversation thought that he was talking about the pastor. But this is what the janitor said. He said, "The blower still works, but the fire's gone out." So I want to say this morning, so far as I'm concerned, I feel that the fire is still there. The blower still works. And Diane and I are excited about the opportunity to continue to give our lives for the cause of the gospel as long as the Lord gives us health and strength. So thank you for your continuing prayers for us. You know, there are people who say we're praying for you, and I guess we've all said that very casually, haven't we? You know, we're praying. Yeah, we're praying for you. But then there are those who really pray. And one of the things that you can do for us is to pray for us, because at the end of the day, what we need are people who know how to pray. And we in turn pledge to pray for you as a church family. Now, much has changed since we went into the ministry 41, 42 years ago, but there are many other things that have not changed. Human nature has not changed. The power and the destructive nature of human sin has not changed. We think, for example, the Word of God has not changed. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will never pass away. The Bible says the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God does not change. Of course, the need for the gospel doesn't change, and the proclamation of it. For there is salvation in none other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gospel must continue to go out through the ministry of New Hope Baptist Church and through our own individual lives. So that hasn't changed. The need for missions and evangelism has not changed. In fact, it's growing more urgent. New Hope has been known over the years as a church with a heart for the world. And that should not ever change. We represent the gospel of Christ to a needy culture. And New Hope and churches like it are more needed today than they have ever been before. Now, as I said, the text is taken from Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. The Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus. They go up from Ephesus to Miletus, and he's giving his goodbye speech. And you can read it all for yourself. I want to just zero in on verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. Paul says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among the sanctified." And we'll read just that far. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul gives to them three blessings, or three benedictions, if you will. And I would like to leave these with you today as the congregation of New Hope Baptist Church. First of all, he says, "I commend you to God." Now, it is God who gives continuity to history. Because after all, God is eternal. And God is the one, you know, who selects leaders. He's thinking so far ahead of us, obviously. But you know, it gives me a great deal of confidence to know and to be able to say that the same God who saved the Apostle Paul and converted Paul on the road to Damascus is the same God who converted me as a young boy. I was 8 years of age, and I just went forward in a worship service much like this one. My family didn't know that I was going to do that because I did not know that I was going to do that. But my experience was real, and I've never really doubted it since, to God's glory. But I would say to you today that empires come and empires go, but God remains. Ministries are birthed, and ministries and churches sometimes die, but God remains. People come and people go. Pastors come and pastors go, but God remains. And today I commend you to God. I believe that the same God who has led New Hope Baptist Church now for almost 200 years will continue to lead you into the future in an even more blessed way. Then secondly, you'll notice Paul says, "And to the word of his grace, I commend you to the word of God." You know, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey or the honeycomb. You see, the word of God converts people. So that what happens is God takes His Word, He combines it with the Spirit of God to produce within our lives the Spirit of God, the life of God. And that's what we mean when we talk about being born again. And now, of course, we're not only going to preach the law and sin, which obviously needs to be preached, but you here at New Hope also preach a tremendous amount of grace. Because after the law and sin have helped us to see our own sin, what we really need is the grace of God. And so you may be here today and you may feel loaded down with sin, if you're a sinner. And the Bible says we all are. Let me introduce you to a wonderful Savior who can save us from all of our sins. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a minister in England in the 1800s, was describing to his congregation the amazing grace of God, the word of His grace, as Paul puts it in this text this morning. And Spurgeon said this, "Man piles a mountain of sin, but God will match it. And He upheaves a loftier mountain of grace. Man heaps up still a larger hill of sin, but the Lord overtops it with 10 times more grace." Notice, abundant sin is no barrier to the superabundant grace of God. Wow. What a statement when you stop and think about it. So the issue is not the greatness of our sin. God is able to take care of that. The issue has to do with our willingness to lay hold of the grace of God and to allow ourselves to be in the grip of that grace. So Paul says, "I commend you to God," and then he says, "I commend you to the word of His grace," which he says is able to build you up. It is the word of His grace that builds us up. And you know, I believe that dark times could come to America. In some ways, perhaps they're already here. Because everything that has ever been nailed down in this country is being ripped up and torn apart so that it feels that the wheels are coming off the wagon sometimes. I remember Diane and I were going through the city of New Orleans a couple of years after Katrina. And even at that time, just riding down the interstate through the center of the city, you could see all of the signs of devastation in that city. You know, Katrina would not have been the disaster that it was for New Orleans if the levees had held. But the levees broke, and that's why you had such devastation. We could compare the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States to the levees, holding back a whole lot of floodwaters, an even greater evil. And I think the question becomes, will the church be strong enough to withstand all of that? Your next pastor may well have to deal with things that I never had to deal with through 4 decades as a pastor. You know, we've discovered that there are such things as cultural streams. A cultural stream is a movement within a country where if you oppose it, you're ridiculed, you're pushed down, you're marginalized, you may even be fired from your job. We're living in America at a time when there are cultural streams. And if you don't toe the line regarding political correctness and all of the expectations, you're going to find that things don't go too well for you. You may be humiliated, you may be shamed, you may be told that you're a hater. All of those things, because they're cultural streams that are powerful and unrelenting. But we need to emphasize the fact today in the church that God will be with us through it all. God is with us in our difficulties. God will be with us through the challenges. There's a verse I like in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. All sufficiency in all things and at all times. And so I would say this morning to the congregation of New Hope, God is with you to navigate the cultural streams that are running against Christian faith today in this country. And I encourage you to stick up for Jesus and stick up for the Word of God, no matter what the cultural streams may be. Jesus in the 6th chapter of Luke says this, "Blessed are you if your name is cast out for as being evil on my behalf. Do you and I regard it a badge of honor if our name is cast out for evil because we stick up for Jesus Christ and we stick up for His Word?" He says, "I commend you to the Word of God, which is able to build you up." And now there's a third commitment that Paul is making here, and that has to do with the fact that God is the one who is giving us an inheritance among the redeemed. It's an inheritance among those who are sanctified, Paul says. And I think there are different ways to go about translating that, but when I think of inheritance and the inheritance of the redeemed, a couple of things come to mind. Number one is salvation, which is ours in Christ Jesus. And because of that, it is secure. We're in the grip of that grace. But I also think of the fact that there are rewards for faithfulness in the midst of difficulty and challenges. God regards that highly. And as a result, He's going to reward that. And so again, I want to encourage you to be faithful during this time of transition. Faithfulness means that we're committed to the gospel and we're committed to the vision and the mission of New Hope Baptist Church. The person behind the pulpit is important, absolutely, but the vision and the mission of New Hope Baptist Church is what really drives the entire ministry and the whole continuing work of the church. You know, when you come into this beautiful sanctuary, when it's empty, it's kind of like an auditorium. And I've come in a few times on Sunday mornings when it's empty just to listen to Dr. Good on the organ, to meditate and prepare for the 11 o'clock service. But when the people of God come in, that's when it becomes a sanctuary. Because the Bible says that God dwells with His people. And He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and God of all gods. I urge you to continue to be faithful to the ministry of your church. Now, as Diane and I think about rewards And as we consider our ministry in 6 different churches over the years, and a few years with the Baptist State Convention, we have to understand that any spiritual victories that were won over those years were won because of God and not because of us. But the fact that God would use, that God could use and would use such imperfect people is deeply humbling. Deeply humbling. And you know, the Bible talks about rewards. There is a reward for you and me. There's a reward for the martyrs. They receive a reward. But what about our reward? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He writes, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." And so I would say to you, our brothers and sisters, the friends that we've made here at New Hope, the Bible says that you are the Lord's glory and joy. And at the end of the day, you are his crown of rejoicing. There's an old illustration that I think helps us to see how wonderful it is to give everything to Jesus and to live full throttle for him. It's a legend that came out of India. And the story is about a wealthy Raja who was riding along one day in his chariot, and he stopped, and there was a beggar standing by the ditch. And so the beggar goes over to this wealthy Raja, and hoping that he would receive something from him, he held up his bowl of rice. And the Raja looked at him and said, "Beggar, give me some of your rice." Well, the beggar was angry. And he's thinking to himself, "Well, here are you, the wealthy Raja, and you're wanting me to give you some of your rice?" And so he very gingerly reached in and took one grain of rice and gave it to the Raja. The Raja said, "Give me some more of your rice." And so in great anger, the beggar again took another grain of rice and gave it to the Raja. And then a third time, the Raja said, "Give me some more of your rice." Well, by this time, the beggar was absolutely furious. And in a huff, he gave the Raja one more grain of rice, and he walked away. And the Raja got in his chariot and left. A little while later, the beggar looked into his bowl, and he saw something glitter. And it was the size of a piece of rice, but it was actually a little piece of gold, just the size of a grain of rice. He looked through his bowl and he found only 2 more pieces of gold. And the beggar said, "Oh, if I had only known who it was that I was talking with, I would have given him my whole bowl of rice." I tell you today, my friends, Jesus is generous. Be faithful to him. Give him your all. Live for his glory. And in the end, he'll take your rice and he'll give you pure gold. Jesus is so generous. Serving him is so wonderful. Telling others about him is such a privilege. I say to the congregation of New Hope today that we do indeed commend you to God. and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And someday we'll understand better what it means to have an inheritance among the redeemed, an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words of the Apostle Paul, which today are our words. Invigorate us, we pray. Focus our commitment, because we do want to give you all the glory and the praise to be able to serve you and love you and to be saved by you. It's a privilege that we can scarcely imagine. But we do love you. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.